Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. It's Sam Crowley. It's the Everyday Saturday podcast. I'm going to start a little mini-series today. 5 years, looking back 5 years, the summer of 2014. As you know, my daughter, Susan, you might just start listening to the show. We have so many new listeners. Let me just kind of set the stage. Our daughter, Susan, who is going to be 5 years old, 8 days from right now. No, I'm sorry. Today's the 7th. 10 days from right now, August 17th. I have a daughter, Laura, who's going to be 15 on August 12th. Holy crap, 15 years old. Anyway, Susan was born at 1 pound. My wife, her water broke at 23 weeks, and she tried to keep the baby in as long as she could, just one more week, but without any amniotic fluid, it was going to happen at some point. So she delivered Susan at 24 weeks. And that was on August 17th, 2014. But what was leading up to that, that's where I want to start today. Now, Susan, through just all, I mean, praise God, she is going to be 5 years old in 10 days. And, you know, she still has speech issues. She doesn't talk that well. She has some emotional issues that I think just with maturity will iron themselves out. At least that's what every clinical therapist that we've had, every doctor we've had, everyone who's been amazing. I mean, we have Cincinnati Children's Hospital in our backyard. How lucky are we to have one of the top three children's hospitals in the country 30 minutes away? It's amazing. Those of you that don't know, Susan was born at 1 pound. She came home after 221 days in Children's Hospital. She had a trach to breathe out of. She had a ventilator. That was a cool $40,000 a month for that. Don't even get me started on medical bills and health insurance, navigating that. Anyway, she came home with a trach, ventilator, G-tube, all that good stuff. The trach eventually got taken out a couple years ago. She still has a G-tube. We haven't used it. And that's probably going to come out this year as well by the end of the calendar year. So, wow, it's just amazing. So, looking back 5 years ago, and that's where I want to start today. And we'll do this over the course of the next few days because August 10th, I won't be able to do a podcast. I'll be traveling. And that's the day that my wife got admitted and was driven down to the Children's Hospital in an ambulance. And all of this still has an entrepreneurial flavor to it because I always thank God that I did not have a job. If I would have had a job, imagine this. Imagine asking your boss for, hey, can I have the next 9 months off to go sit with my daughter in the NICU and pray over her with my wife 6 to 8 hours a day every day? I'd be fired. And look, I wouldn't hold that grudge against my boss. I was not of a good mental mind frame every single minute of the day to be able to be of value to a corporation, to a company. So if I were my boss, I wouldn't have allowed it. You just can't do it. You need people that are working. Look, you're paying somebody to show up, add value, and bring their A game. That wasn't me. You know, I was sitting there with my wife after Susan was born, just praying she'd make it for another hour, let alone another day, you know? So it does have an entrepreneurial flavor to it. And I want you to listen over the next few days. I may even do one later today, man. You may do two a day over the next few days. You know how the show rolls, right? We just kind of do what we do. By the way, let me just get this out. Launch with Sam, launchwithsam.com. That's my calendar. I call you on my phone. And we strategize for 30 minutes on how you can launch your dream as well. Get on my calendar. It fills up quickly. Just go to launchwithsam.com. All right. So in the summer of 2014, I would say we were probably in and out of emergency rooms twice a week minimum, sometimes three times a week. We always thought that Angela, my wife Angela, was delivering. That's how scary it was. And we're talking 18 weeks, 19 weeks. And there was just all of these complications. And we were actually in labor and delivery twice. Nothing happened. They sent us home. And I think the biggest torture was the mental torture, Well, we're delivering at 20 weeks, which we had already delivered a son, Matthew, at 20 weeks back in 2000. That was our first pregnancy. And it just had a complication. Again, water broke. Placenta previa, I believe, was the diagnosis at the end of it. Just the sac ruptured, man. And our little boy got delivered. We held him. We had him baptized in the hospital room with the nurse and the doctor there. And when his, you know, his little heart stopped beating, we gave him away. And then, you know, it's funny. We drove home. It's like, hey, all right, go back to normal, guys. Thanks for coming in. What do you do? I remember we're driving home at 2 a.m. and just delivered a baby. Like, it didn't even compute to me. It's like, what the hell just happened? Delivered a baby boy, saw him, 20-weeker, and baptized him, held him, cried over him, and then we drove home. It's like, okay, well, you know, the mortgage bill still comes, the car payment still comes. Work, I had a job at the time. That's still, I mean, it's just crazy. It's like, you know, getting over the death of anybody that you love or just any trauma in your life is really wild because the world keeps spinning on its axis. Nobody stops. It's like nobody stops sending you bills because you had trauma in your life. You know that feeling, you know? So in the summer of 2014, we were in and out of emergency rooms and we got 3 other kids, you know, that we got to raise and they were teenagers. One of them was a teenager. The other one, we're talking maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. And it's just wild that so much, it was just every day we woke up and my wife was on bed rest the entire summer of that 5 years ago. And so I was doing the grocery shopping, folding the laundry. I don't mind doing laundry. Look, I did it when I was a kid, 10 years old in Bradford, PA. That's the one thing my mom, you know, never allowed us to not be able to be functional. So we cooked our own meals a lot of the times. We certainly did our own laundry. I knew how to add bleach to the whites and do colored loads and separate and all that good stuff. So I was able to do that, thank God, you know, 5 years ago to help out. Fed the kids and my wife was on bed rest. And my wife is such a multitasker, active individual. It pains her greatly to have to lay in bed. Like any, women are, And I'm not here to even, you know, preach one way or another. Women are freaking amazing. From childbirth to running a home, I would much rather run a Fortune 500 company because it's easier than running a home when you have kids. And any guy will tell you that. At least any guy that's being honest will tell you that. So my wife, it pained her greatly to have to lay in bed rest that whole summer. And then, so I want to bring you up to August 10th, and then we'll cut the show, and I'll come back with another one. But I just want to bring up the frame of mind. It was mental freaking torture. Mental freaking torture that whole summer. You know, oh, my God, I got to get to the emergency room. So we go to the emergency room, wait, go home. And look, emergency rooms are all about waiting. You hurry up and wait, you know, and then you get in the room, and then you wait again. And then you hear the same old thing. They got to get your insurance card and got to take and all this stuff. And in the meantime, money is just flowing out of my bank account. I got no energy to create anything, you know, podcasting. I don't even know. I got to look back, I guess, and see how many shows. That would be interesting. Let me look at the website. I might have done a few in July of that year in August. I doubt it, though. But I'm posting to Facebook a lot at that point. You know, I'm posting, and that's where when I wrote my book, One More Breath, you know, all that was all I took all my Facebook posts and kind of collaborated them and put them into that book. And 350 pages later, you can check it out on Amazon. It's called One More Breath. It chronicles all of this through that summer to when Susan was born to when she came home and everything we were thinking and how my wife was able to run a family and I was able to still run a business and we were able to stay profitable, you know? And so right up, my sister came August 10th to visit out of the blue. I mean, she said, hey, I was in Bradford, PA, our hometown. I decided to take a drive. I got some time. I decided to drive west and visit you guys in Cincinnati. So she showed up around 9 a.m. or so on a Sunday. It was August 10th, 2014. Nice Sunday morning, as you can imagine, in the Midwest, probably 75 degrees at that point in time, sun shining. And I'm getting ready to go to church. But she showed up in the driveway unannounced, like, oh, my God, Kate, what's going on? So then she goes inside and Angela comes down. She goes, and then Ange went back upstairs. She goes, wow, is Angela feeling okay? I go, why do you ask? She goes, she's just looks gaunt and thin and just, she just doesn't look healthy. And not since I haven't seen her in a while, but my God, she looks unhealthy. I was like, oh, well, yeah. And I didn't want to give too much away about what we've been going through, you know, over the past couple months because, you know, it's just like sometimes you just want to keep that stuff. Not that it's a big deal, but, you know, you just don't always want to be complaining. I mean, we felt like another thing, and this is weird too, but I guess other people do this, when you don't want to be a drag on other people. You know what I mean? Like, you want to share what's going on. Hey, pray for us, pray for it. But you also want to be self-sufficient, you know, because other people always have it worse. There's always someone that has it worse than you. So I'm like, yeah, you know, Angie isn't doing too well, but, you know, we're doing okay day by day. And then, crazy enough, an hour later, Angie calls me upstairs. Today, what's going on? She goes, hey, I think my water broke. I was like, what? Now, keep in mind, she's 23 weeks. I go, what? Water broke? Yeah, I think we got to go. I'm like, here we go again. And I figured, well, then we prayed hard, man, always driving, always praying on the way to the hospital. So we went again, Bethesda Hospital, you know, right by our house here in the suburb of Cincinnati. And we go up, check in. Yep, there we go. Here's my insurance card. Yep, nothing changed. Okay. We get up there, and then it was different. It was different by the look in the doctor's eye, and we'd seen this look before when we delivered our son Matthew some 15 years prior to this. We know that look. When the doctor does the sonogram and they look at it a different way. And you know automatically. It's a concerned look. It's one of, huh, we don't see this very often. Because 90% of pregnancies go full term. That's what our OB-GYN doctor told us. That, look, I don't, you know, not delivering a baby at 40 weeks is unusual. 90% go full term. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that. Because when you're in the battle, you hear from so many people that delivered early. But 23 weeks, that's not even recognized as a viable birth in the state of Ohio. So the doctor comes back in and says, yep, you're leaking amniotic fluid. The baby can't survive. I mean, the lungs stop developing without amniotic fluid. So when this all, is it possible that the baby's going to live? Sure. And then they always hedge. Doctors hedge. And they should hedge. They don't want to give you false hope. They also don't want to be Debbie Downer, but they got to hedge. And they think, well, sure, it can work out, and there's a chance it won't work out. And you're, you know, water breaking at 23 weeks, not good, not good. So she starts calling around the city of Cincinnati looking for, I don't know if it's level 3 or level 1 trauma units. I never get it right, but whatever the highest one is. And they have no beds at this one. And here's the thing. Your insurance doesn't give, you know, it doesn't work here, but it works here. And so anyway, and this was God's hand all over it. UC Medical Center. The University of Cincinnati Medical Center had beds open, and they met the level 1. I'm just going to call it level 1 trauma. So they take Angela, whisk her away in an ambulance. And we just told the kids, my sister Kate, I mean, it's so crazy because that day my sister Kate shows up out of nowhere. And we just told the kids, who were just, like I said, between 8 and 11 years old at the time. We said, hey, guys, we're just taking mom out real quick. Going to grab a bite to eat. That's what we always said. Never wanted to make it, you know, didn't want to alarm them. And so my wife gets whisked off in an ambulance and a stretcher. And she's in great spirits, you know, smiling. Love you, go bring, meet me down there. I'm like, yeah, okay, where? Like, where's University of Cincinnati Medical Center? I don't go downtown anymore. I don't work downtown anymore. I've been down there hardly at all in the past 15 years. So I go, okay, yeah, let me see. And I'm my stomach is just in knots because I got to come home and I got to tell the kids, hey, because we said when we left, hey, we're going to cook out. We're going to Kroger. We're just going to cook out, grab some stuff. We'll be right back, maybe a couple hours. And so I walked in the door and they go, Mommy. I go, yeah, Mom's not here. What do you mean? You guys went to the store. Why, how's Mom not with you? Well, Mom had to go to the hospital. They kept her a little bit longer. They just want to check and make sure everything's okay. And I'm bumbling, stumbling. I don't even know what to say. My sister, so I pulled my sister and I said, hey, they took her down to UC Medical. Her water broke. And she's like, oh, Jesus. So now I got to go into damage control. It's August 10th. My daughter, Laura, who I said turns 15 years old, this weekend, or Monday, I'm sorry, August 12th, my daughter Laura was turning 10 years old and going into the fifth grade. And so her 10th birthday, which was a big deal, double digit. It's funny how kids mark these birthdays, man. I'm 10, double digit. It is a big deal. Teenager, 13. So this was supposed to be kind of, we're building up to Laura's birthday, and Mom's in the hospital now. And I've got to now go back to UC Medical Center with Angela's clothes and makeup and all that stuff. No idea if our baby's going to be delivered that day or going to be delivered a week later. I mean, a month, 2 months, 3 months. I have no idea. The uncertainty around it all. And I got to feed a family of three kids. three kids. I got to figure out a way to still drive revenue, to still be, hey, motivational guy, woo, every day is Saturday, when all I wanted to do was go into a closet and cry. I mean, that's it. So we'll leave it there. It's August 10th. I wanted to bring you up to August 10th of 2014. I'm going to talk about that night where we met Dr. Doom and Gloom. I call him that, great doctor, but boy, driving home from UC Medical Center that night was all I could handle, man. And that's when I cried out to God in my car. I'm like, I can't do this alone. And it's not even me. I'm not even the one carrying the baby, and I can't do this alone. And this is where you really got to lean on God, because you can't burden yourself with all of these anxiety and worries and all this fear. And this is where I kind of learned this stuff from, man. Whenever I battle fear, I got just as much fear and anxiety and worry as you do, but I just place it all at God's feet because I can't handle it all. I just can't. Nobody can. No human can, not in this natural world. So we'll leave it at that. And then I'm going to come back on the next show. I want to talk about that night driving home, and the next morning I had to bring the kids down to see their mom. Everything changed. Our lives changed forever after August 10th, 2014. All right, it's Sam Crowley. By the way, I can't emphasize this enough. Being an entrepreneur during that period of time, having freedom, I believe, and my wife will tell you as well, saved our family, because there's no way having to have a job or going to something I didn't like or having all that pressure on top of it, it would have just crumbled. Our family would have crumbled underneath all that. So I want to help you. I want to help you become free. I want to help you monetize your message. And I want to help you make every day Saturday. It's possible. The steps are simple, but you need to trust the process. So get on my calendar. Go to launchwithsam.com. Book a time. I'll call you, and we'll make it happen, all right? Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.